And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday, as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we're going to try this again. We tried it last week. Today's teaching picks up at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Adam and Eve have sinned, and God has poured out the penalties for their rebellion. God then declares that mankind has now entered into the new realm of knowing good and evil, having eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why. This means that both good and bad will be produced. Man is not fundamentally good. His disobedience to God in the garden demonstrates that he is fundamentally rebellious. That's why Jesus said all mankind was born in sin. So the answer is not, well, man is basically good. No, he's not. Next, it's rather amazing that Adam and Eve did not consider going for the tree of life. Instead of seeking life, they sought power and authority and equality with God, all under the deception from the enemy. So what you will, say what you will, sorry, but in the garden, equality is a selfish need to be equal or even superior. It's interesting because, of course, Jesus came as a servant. And finally, the last portion of chapter 3 is amazing. We talked about this briefly last week, but I love this. God not only banishes Adam and Eve from the garden, he also puts a protective angelic guardian to preserve and keep the tree of life and the way of life. Because of mankind's sin, they could not just freely eat the fruit, and now it's guarded, only to be revealed as God deems fit, which, by the way, is through the revelation of Jesus Christ, because it's through Jesus that you get to eat from the tree of life.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice, nice, nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Now, just remember a couple things. It's not professional radio. You guys are lucky it's radio. I'm going to say it's radio. It's just kind of like, you know, a couple cans, couple strings to see what we can do. Now, before I reach out and give you all the ways to contact, somebody is on the line and we want to give them a chance to share, or talk, or ask, or do whatever. So let's send that person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Roslyn.
Hi, Roslyn. How are you?
I'm excited about sharing the fruits of waiting expectantly on the Lord.
Okay. That is a great, great, great intro. So I'm going to give you the floor and tell everybody what you're talking about and what's going on.
Okay, so remember Friday I called and I shared about how the demons have been in our house and you prayed over us and you told us to play praise music. Right. I went home and I told Robert about that, and so we tried it. And I think the demons were, well, they came out in full force and they kind of doubled down, I think trying to bluff us, trying to say, look, it doesn't work. And so we just hung in there. It was a little rough at first, but we just hung in there. We kept playing our praise music, kept doing our readings and prayers like we do every night. And then Saturday, we discovered that you don't actually even need to get in an Uber. You just got to open the front door. This young man came over to do the pest control. And so I was talking to him, you know, we've got ants here and there, et cetera. And then you know, he was just working so hard, and I offered him something to drink, and he was hungry, and so we made him something to eat, and I said, come inside and eat with us, and so we were talking to him, and then one thing led to another, and then it just led to, do you know Jesus? And how this is what you need. This is what's missing in your life. And he was just all ears and so excited. And before we left, we said, do you want to go to church tomorrow? And he said, yes, I want to go to church tomorrow. And can I bring my girlfriend and the baby? I said, absolutely. And so then the whole rest of the day, I was just, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited about, wow. Is he going to come? Are they going to make it? And trying to prepare, I thought, okay, well, then maybe we can have him over for lunch and just trying to get everything ready for that. And then I didn't hear from them the rest of that day. And then the next morning, Robert's like, well, if they don't come, we planted a seed, it's okay. And I'm like, no, they're going to come. They're going to come. And then they were running a little bit late, but they came. And then they came over for lunch, and everybody at church was just so friendly to them. They were so excited. And then they're like, we want to come to church again next week. So we're just so thrilled about what God did and how turned everything around in our house over the weekend. And then, as if that was not enough, last night, do you remember Anthony, the first person I told you about at the beginning of the year that I had told him about Jesus?
Yes, I do. Yep.
He sends me a text about how he's still struggling with some things, but he's seeking God and how he doesn't have a Bible and wants a Bible. And I'm just like, wow, this is like icing on this giant cake we've got already. And I was telling Robert, I said, years ago, because of the whole legal, and then in the back of my mind, oh, that's right, I've got that legal thing on Tuesday. But I'm just so focused on the family coming to church. Can we, about the Bible, all these things that are happening. Years ago, I would have been so just, I lived and I breathed and I ate and I couldn't sleep, constantly thinking about this court case. And it just overwhelmed me and consumed me. And that was one of the fears that we had when we had to pick it up this year, that would be the case, because I didn't want to go back to that. I'm like, no, we're in so much a better place now. We're more reliant on God. We're here with him, and we don't want to lose that. And, so just everything that happened over this weekend, and I hadn't even thought about the case. Like, it's like, oh, I got to remember. It's a good thing I put a reminder in my phone to remind me that the thing is tomorrow. Because I'm so excited about everything that's happening with all these other people and just trying to share with them about God. And I'm just so grateful that God has changed my way of thinking so much to where I can see that and value what's really important.
Now, let's talk about that. It was the Lord, listen to this, who put it on your heart, right, to share with this person, to be that vessel. And then the Lord blesses the exchange, and the overflow of the service is you get blessed. In other words, the reciprocation of the process is, here I am, Lord, I'm doing this. I'm going to, Jesus would want me to do this. Hey, why don't you eat with us? Why don't you talk with us? And all of the things that you're giving, you're actually getting in a different format of joy coming back to you from the Lord, because you're getting to share. Just watch this. As one person comes and turns, the angels rejoice. And so now you're going, wait, I'm in co-partnership with the angels rejoicing, because I'm rejoicing and people are coming. And now you're into the element of the spiritual kingdom advancing. And it's the most powerful, effective, life-changing, mind-altering experience, because you're partnering with God. And that's it right there. That's what heaven's going to be. Just continually partnering with God. Like, okay. You are blessed, challenged. The enemy, you got to remember about this, you got to remember this. And the Lord's going, everything is in my control. In fact, Eric sent me a text today saying, God is in control, God is in control, God is in control, God is in control. So I think he said it 7 times. God is in control. has got you covered, blessing you and your hubby, blessing you and your house, letting you be used as vessels, and sharing in the joy of the kingdom of God. That's called cool.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we were talking with him on Saturday, he was saying how, you know, he kind of used to go to church when he was younger and went away. And he's like, you know, I really need to get back into it. And, you know, with all the encouragement of, yes, you got to know. And Sunday, wouldn't you know, the sermon was about how in Malachi, people devalued God and all about, are you valuing God the way you should in your life? It's like that sermon was written for you who knows how long ago and prepared for and planned out for you to show up today.
Perfect. I mean, that's perfect. I mean, you can't script stuff like this. This is what people don't understand. There's no way that your pastor knew. I mean, there's just no way anybody knew anything anywhere around there. But the Lord's like going, I'm just weaving away, weaving away, weaving away. And people are like going, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it this way? And the Lord's just weaving away, doing it exactly the way it needs to be done. It's like, okay. It's delightful, isn't it? It's just delightful.
Yes, it's pretty. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing, like, right?
I see it unfolding in front of my eyes, and I'm like, wow, am I really living this? It's pretty. It's astounding.
Amazing grace, isn't it?
Wanted to ask prayer for so his name is Z, and his wife or girlfriend is Jasmine, and for Anthony, and just a prayer of gratitude. And then, by the way, we've got a court case tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, what was his name again?
High up the priority.
What was his name?
His name, he goes by Z, like the letter Z, A to Z.
Okay, so he goes by Z. Okay, got it.
And then his girlfriend is Jasmine.
Jasmine, right? Let's pray for those two and Anthony. Let's pray for them. Okay? Let's pray for all of them right now. And your court case. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We delight. We rejoice, Lord. We are laughing with Rosalyn. We're dancing with her. We're enjoying the amazing work that you are doing. You're so past us. It's so awesome, Lord. It's better because it's just like we get to enjoy it. Thank you. First of all, thank you for just having Rosalyn and Robert be in tune, connected. All the warfare, Lord, could have been just them sharpening their hearts and minds just to be ready. They don't know. You know. And we thank you for that. And we lift up Z and Jasmine, who have just this whole new situation in the church. And, Lord, we are asking you that seed that has obviously sprouted would continue to grow. And we know the enemy's not going to quit, but you are greater. And we ask that the greatness of the kingdom of God would continue to grow in Z and Jasmine's life. And we throw up Anthony there, Lord, who's still trying to hammer it through, figure it out. And, Lord, we're asking you. He's asking for the truth, the word, needs a Bible, needs to know, needs to have some kind of authority speak to him. Let the right version, the right Bible, the right connection be made, and let Anthony step forward over the line so that he can see what other people in the faith see. And Lord, you know, we got this court case tomorrow for Rosalyn. She don't like it. Nobody likes it. But Lord, all these things are connected because you are the perfect blender, the perfect weaver of all these things. And you tell us everything works together for good. And we say yes and amen. We believe you. Manifest that in Robert and Rosalyn's life. And continue to bless them and use them. And guide them and encourage them. We lift them up and rejoice with them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. I'm so excited to have had such a happier call than the stressful one on Friday.
It is wonderful to hear it, but it is important for people to know that they don't all start this way, but they can all become this way. And that's the key. The Lord has that wonderfulness in him that makes it all work. It's just the best. It's the coolest thing ever. This is a mess. Yes, but it's God's mess. Now watch this. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. That's what it leads us to say. Excellent call, by the way.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about Genesis. It's my favorite day of the week, Mondays now.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to get back to that after a break. We'll do that afterwards. Okay, great call. Tell your hubby I said howdy, howdy, okay?
I will. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for all your prayers.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right. I can't do anything with it. What do you do with that? Nothing. You don't do anything. What do you do? Nothing. See, I'll tell you this right now. This is something people need to know. So, like, a pastor will have a sermon and so on and so forth. If the Lord comes in, and this has happened in churches, so don't sit there and say it doesn't happen. And then the people come up and say, what do I do to get saved before the sermon's preached? And then these people follow up and they start getting saved. You know what you do? You just go with it. Maybe that's not the time for the sermon. That's the whole point. The Lord, he's in charge. Let's just follow him. Wherever he is, let's follow him, okay? All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord, and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Right. What's going on? You want to know the answer to that,
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you sneeze, I mean... My eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have
we'll
to
have
sit
to
there
wait
and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent, excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Well, we've got a lot to do, and we're getting right to it. Here's your next trivia question. Which book in the Bible says, let's see, this is why I cannot give you that information, but it is one of the poetry books again. Which book in the Bible says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging? Is that Job, Psalms, Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes? Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Is that Job, Psalms, Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes? If you think you know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we do have somebody calling in, and because they're calling in, we're going to do the trivia first. So I do want you to be aware that in calling in, it can be for trivia, it can be for prayer requests, it can be for praise reports, it can be for something sharing that is going on in your life. It doesn't have to, you don't have to worry about saying it well. In fact, that passage, I really encourage you people to read the Berean Study Bible Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, you find out that Paul shared the testimony not based on his ability to speak eloquently, but just sharing the truth of God and the testimony of God. He just shared it. And the rest of it was up to the Lord to make something happen with it, which is something that should comfort all of us. Because sometimes I talk way too much, and I can over-talk anything. I can oversell, so to speak. That's one of my terrible gifts. But sometimes you just share it and let the Lord take what's being shared and make it its own moment. You find out without a doubt that the gospel is in itself the power of God, not your communication of it, but what God does with it when somebody hears it. That's what's so awesome, right? I mean, come on. All right, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question, so let's send them on through. Then we'll do DNA after that. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David, this is John.
Hi, John, we just heard you.
I know. Oh, boy. Oh, brother.
This is a classic. I'll never forget that exchange we had because of the sneezing in the face. Was just, I just never thought of it. It was just like, that's brilliant.
Well, leave it to me. Oh,
that's brother. So funny. That's hilarious. Oh. All right. Let me set this up for you. I'll give the question and the answers, and then you can answer it, okay? Which book in the Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging? Is it Job, Psalms, Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes?
That would be Proverbs.
That is correct, Amanda!
Si, senor.
That is right as road. That is right, sir. You are correct. I have a feeling you knew that right away, didn't you? Did you know that? Did you know it right away? Just like, that's got to be a proverb.
Yeah, I've read that before, and I thought, it takes a little wine for the stomach, on the New Testament. I thought, I think I heard Jay Vernon say the alcohol content wasn't the same as it is now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard it preached, and yeah. I respect people that have that position. I have no problem fellowshipping or anything like that with it. I just, kind of disagree. I think the key in the text for Timothy was a little wine, whereas this is a lot of wine.
Wow. Very good. Okay. I learn something every time I call, it seems.
There you go, my friend. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent job. You doing pretty good?
Thank you. They're pretty good. Yeah, I'm getting ready to pull into Chick-fil-A. Get a little.
Oh, there you go. So, I'm jealous.
I think my wife's listening home at the radio. So, hi, honey, if you don't mind my saying.
No, that's no problem whatsoever.
Can't do like Carol Burnett where I pull my ear down, but yeah. Say it verbally.
Well, you enjoy that. You enjoy that, and thank you for calling. You're a blessing, and we love you, brother.
Well, thank you. You are too, David. Thank you. Keep it up.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. We're just having fun. I knew it was going to be a weird Monday. You know why I knew it was going to be a weird Monday?
because everything went really simple at my, you know, we had, you know, the weekend. I'm not going to talk about moving or boxing, like boxing up stuff. Okay. Apparently, though, I have a lot more books than I thought. that's the one thing I have discovered. There's another 8 cartons. Anyway, but it went really smooth this morning. And I thought, ooh, okay, this is grace. I'm just riding it. I'm riding it. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm going to say. Are you ready for DNA? DNA.
Yes, I am.
Let's do it. Now, we do DNA, and it's important to do. And you guys know it's important to do, so let's make sure we do it and reinforce it. And if you think, well, I hear it every day, good. And when you not only hear it but do it every day, then you'll just want to hear it more. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day that ends in Y. Spend something with the Lord. It does not have to be a designated time. It does not have to be in the morning. It doesn't have to be in the evening. I mean, this needs a Dr. Seuss thing. It does not have to be in the day or in the night. You just have to do it always so you can make it right. You know, something like that. Anyway, you got to spend time with the Lord. It doesn't matter. Stop. Jesus spent quality time with the Father through the Son. And you know what? Right relationship makes right ministry. You want to do ministry right? Spend time with the Lord. There used to be a pastor in a country that would not let anybody on his staff be on his staff unless they did devotions for 2 hours a day. That was his requirement. I think he was brilliant. And by the way, his church was large enough. They filled 7 soccer stadiums a Sunday. So don't tell me. Don't tell me it don't work. Okay, just don't. Just don't. Don't. Okay? All right, good. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D-N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Oh, boy. You can feel, if you're being sensitive, the increase against the Word of God in certain circles. It's increasing. Yeah? Tough. I would rather stand with God and be mocked by man. And then when I face God, dance on in, than be swatted. Do you get it? It's just that simple. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready.
To serve,
which is, the idea is to be prepared. We already talked about, you got to be ready. Be prepared. Prepared for every good work. What does it mean to be prepared? To be ready. To be set apart. To be ready to go for whatever the Lord has in mind. Is it going to happen every millisecond of your life? No. You know, Jesus slept, he ate, he napped. No, it doesn't happen every second. But you're there, conscious, aware, ready, on guard, to serve and honor the Lord. Is that not just a good thing? It is better than a good thing. It is the right thing. The right thing to honor God. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. Now, I know we're past our time normally, and I'm not going to take up time because of this double teaching that I'm doing Genesis is really, really, I think it's really good stuff, really important. Here's what I want you to remember. As long as it is helping you move towards the Lord, then it is good, right? All ministry, all teaching. I'm just so blessed that when Rosalind was sharing what she shared, I just want to say this real quickly, that the pastor, you know, he had the right, he's got the right word ready to go. It's all connected when it's being done by the Lord. That's the key. It's not, this ministry is the only one, or this is the only one, this one. Ridiculous. We are the body of Christ. We need all the parts working. Get it? And by the way, you're in the body of Christ, and the body needs you working. Get that? All right. Take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassador's Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Then I'm going to send you to the website. Then we're going to come back. Then I'm going to get into Genesis, and it's a very cool part, and I want you to get it. So listen up. Here we go. Here's your trivia question. Which book? Notice how we're following this theme. Which book has this in it? Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Which one of those is it? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, and I'm not even going to make it complex for you. If you can give, do it. If you want to get the new book, do it. Let's see, it's $2.99 for the ebook, $4.95, I think, for the $4.95 or $4.99 for the audio book, and then $6.95 for the print. So, you know, it's not a lot. I mean, one way or the other. And if you need help getting the book, tell us. I'll get you a book. No problem. Bottom line is, on the website, it's a great place to give. Here is our thing for it. And no, we're not going to give you a whistle if you give or anything else. I'm not giving you a book if you give. If you need a book, tell us. If you're going to give unto the Lord. So it's between you and him. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Never give reluctantly
And never give under compulsion like you feel you must. Don't do that. Just don't give it. God loves a cheerful giver. When you give it unto the Lord with the right heart. Basically, a happy heart. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Well, it's like a present for you.
My Monday was going great, now it's even better.
I was doing really well, and now I'm doing super swell. That's great. That's very funny, now that I'll never forget that, by the way.
Thank you.
That's the one you love. All right, here it is. Which book has it in it? Now, it's either the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon. Some also know it as Song of Songs. That's okay. Which book has thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels? If you can't get that by deduction, I'm going to be very, very, very concerned. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. This is after God gives out the punishments. Ouch, right? He says this, then the Lord said, the people have become as we are. Stop. Who is we are? Well, it's not the angels. Remember that. Remember, you got to remember the plurality that's involved there. The people have become as we are, knowing everything, both good and evil. What if they eat the fruit of the tree of life, then they'll live forever. So the Lord banished Adam and his wife from the Garden of Eden and sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. Let's understand something that's really, really important, okay? Super important. This is a part of the penalty that doesn't get discussed a lot because some people seem to just fly by and never encounter it, but that's incorrect. Here's what I want to talk about. Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, sent out to cultivate the ground. Their work would have been excellent all the time, fully enjoyable all the time, never stressing, never having a problem, never being frustrated, never being discouraged, never being encountering people that would have been mean. In other words, the way that God intended work to be before sin was it was super duper cool. Let me just explain this. I want to make sure you understand. There are times when you do your job where you love it. And there are times where you do your job where you're like, right? It's both. And some people, their jobs are really, And some people love their jobs more than other people, no question. But the intent of God was that everybody who did anything would absolutely love everything they were doing. And there would be no negative phase in the working. There was nothing negative. So, like, let me use this as an example, okay? And I'll try to be, like, forthright. So I enjoy the study part, but then writing out the notes, it doesn't bother me to write out the notes, but that's not as fun as the study part. But what's really not as fun compared to both of those is when my computer, which is possessed by something other than normal, it crashes in the middle. Or I hit the wrong button, which, you know, I have to take blame on some of this. Or it just freezes. I remember when I first was doing Bible college, I wrote a 13-page paper and my computer completely shut off and there was no OneDrive, there was no save then. 13 pages, bye-bye. So here's what I'm trying to say. All of those things that are tedious and irritating and the reason you have to save every 30 seconds and all that other stuff, that's all kind of like built into the minutia. That is not how God wanted things to be for you and I. That was not the intent. Your position, your job, it doesn't matter what that is, It doesn't matter if it seems like it's the most humiliating job or not. Any position, the intent was that there would be no sweat from it. There'd be no sorrow from it. There'd be no discouragement from it, because none of that would have entered had sin not entered. It was set up perfect. And see, in our brains, we can't think of work, every moment of work, being just as great as every moment of everything. Now you're understanding that when we do go to heaven, it's going to be so far past this human plane. And it's like, that's what God wanted. But sin brought complexity. So because of that sin, they had to cultivate outside the garden. They had to making life tough instead of simple. We complicate the things of God, don't we? Sin brought complexity to what work is. And we have to fight against some of the sin issues. And then some people say, but we're redeemed from the law, Dave. Yeah, but you still die, so it's not a full redemption yet. That's all. There's just no way to get around that. And so my point is this. The intent of God was phenomenal. This penalty phase is just not discussed very much. God wanted work to be awesome, all of it, for everyone at all times. Sin polluted that. Took away from that. Man sought to be equal with God, which was never going to happen. They have some things they got, but they were never going to be omniscient. That's just ridiculous. But the idea behind it was the desire to be that way. Hey, you know who you should be seeking to be equal with? Jesus' example as a servant. And he even said, what I have done for you, you should do for others. You should follow my example. And that's when he washed their feet. Just think of that. Like, wow. Man, did we blow that one. Like, whoops. Like, yep. Whoops. All right. Back to the trivia question. That's how bad sin really messed things up. I don't think people quite get it. Oh, it's the death thing. It's all of it. Was never supposed to be that way. I hope when we all, restart the program, it's all of it, but none of the goofy part. Okay, here's the question. Which book has "Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels"? Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? And the answer is the Song of Solomon. You guys probably should have got that one. Give you a little bit of a hard time there. We'll take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us, he tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives men, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom. Talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1:12-14, finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2:1-3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2:10-11, he says, When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources, he did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. This is, I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2:24 through 26a, a person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where it is not possible for me to have picked a single fill that could come behind what I just taught on and verify exactly. It's just like, it was to be impossible. I could not even have picked it myself. Once again, the fill right behind the teaching is exactly connected to the, it's just like, that's just amazing. You guys have no idea, not a chance. There's no way anybody could. It's just incredible. See, a man lost that because of sin. So anytime you have that, that's a short-term gifty of God. Isn't that just, okay, never mind. I'm just going to move on because otherwise I'm going to lose my mind and there's only so much in there anyway, so. You got to keep that in mind. All right, so we've done a trivia question from Ecclesiastes, from Proverbs, and from Song of Solomon. Okay? So once again, we're going to ask one more question, and it will be from one of these books. Okay? One of these books. So it's either going to be from Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon. Here it is. Which book has vanity of vanities, says the preacher? All is vanity. Which book? Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us and call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. Simple question. Okay. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon. Which book has vanity of vanities? Says the preacher. All is vanity. Which one of those is it? If you think you know, reach out to us. And in the meantime, we're going to do our history just real briefly. I'll do a short history, and then we'll go into the rest of the teaching on Genesis. Ready? Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past. All right, and I thought this was kind of fascinating. 101 years ago today, so 101 years ago today, insulin first became available for use by diabetics.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's just amazing to me. It's like, really, it was 101 years ago today it first became available for people who have diabetes to help them. I just find that
that's
amazing, right?
I could be wrong, but that's actually longer than I thought.
That's a lot longer than I thought. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a lot longer. Today, by the way, is also National High Five Day. I don't know.
Well, after the show, I guess we got a high five.
High five. Today is also, all right, well, take a wild guess what day it is. Just take anything. It doesn't matter. Just trust me.
Something to do with food?
Okay. No, it's take a wild guess day.
That's funny.
That's right, folks. Nothing but the classics here. And then it's also National Glazed Ham Day. So that's always, you know, can't go wrong with that. Last thing I'll tell you, first McDonald's ever opened up on this day in 1955. Originally, before it was known as the Golden Archers, the hamburger was called, the Golden Archers replaced, it was called Speedy. Like when it first opened up, like in the first year, Speedy Burgers or something.
Really? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, when did it become, because what is it called now? Like the, you have like the Quarter Pounder and everything?
I think that was in the 60s that they kind of laid everything out. So, you know, it's not like they've done poorly. I just remember it used to be millions and millions and millions served, then went billions, and then they just said billions. I forget it.
I wonder when Ronald McDonald came in, or if he was there from the beginning.
I don't know. You got Ronald McDonald. You got the hamburger. It's like Hamburglar. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. All right. So your trivia question, just going back to it, and then we're going into the teaching. This teaching is really, I think it's really good. Which book has vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity? Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? All right. Going back to the rest of this, this is finishing off Genesis 3. And then I'm telling you right now, Genesis 4 is just like lights out crazy. We'll get into that. But here's what happens after God sends them out of the garden. After banishing them from the garden. So this is Genesis 3:24. The Lord God stationed mighty angelic beings to the east of Eden, and a flaming sword flashed back and forth, guarding the way to the tree of life. A couple of very, very cool things, a little bit bizarre, right? The last portion of chapter 3, it's amazing by itself. God banishes Adam and Eve from the garden, but puts protective angelic guardians to preserve the key, to preserve and keep the tree of life and the way of life. So what's important to understand is that God then, because man perverted and distorted the way of life and the tree of life, God stepped in and protected it. If left on our own, there would have been no protection. God would have not protected. He didn't protect the way for the tree of life, there had been no way for life to be granted. In other words, God protected what he had initially created for mankind, and that was to fellowship with him forever. So God, what sin did was put things in jeopardy. What God did was protect it. And so he put a flaming sword flashing back and forth, guarding the way to the tree of life. What did Jesus say he was? Listen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. Well, they were guarding the way to the tree of life. In a sense, they were guarding the gospel to be revealed. But the idea to understand is that God became immediately protective so that man wouldn't pollute and be removed from obtaining eternal life through the method God had set up. Since they had already forfeited it, God had to second clause it. That's just the only way to say it, second clause. So what I want you to hear is this, and this is really amazing. He banishes Adam and Eve from the garden, but then puts protective angelic guardians to preserve and keep the tree of life and the way of life. Because of mankind's sin, they could not just freely eat the fruit, which is what God wanted them to do. And now it's guarded to be revealed only as God deems fit, which is at the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is what it means when it says God is with us, Emmanuel. Which is the reintroduction, the second Adam's birth. It's all connected. Oh, my God, is so smart. And we're like going, huh? What? Huh? So I want you to catch, God protects man and eternal life, the connection between all, by protecting the tree of life. He's protecting the way.
It says he's guarding the way to the tree of life. And Jesus said, I am the way. And now revealed to us the revelation of Jesus Christ is the tree of life. Wow. Just stop. Stop trying to over-theologize and all that other goofy stuff that we do. Just catch this. God was like, oh, you guys, you polluted the planet. You ruined everything. I can't let you ruin this too. We'll protect the way. It'll be there. And then Jesus came, the second Adam, to make it right. So you've heard we say on this show, and other people say, that what was restored, what was lost from sin because of Jesus, the garden was restored. The way of eternal life, the tree of life, was preserved, manifested in Jesus, brought to us again. This time, though, we weren't going to be able to mess it up. It's the guarantee. See, the Lord was very, very committed to spending eternity with us. Do you see that now? This isn't a lotto to spend eternity with God. This is a serious, deep plan. Wow. Thank you, God Almighty, for your gift of Jesus Christ. Wow. All right, trivia question. Which book has vanity of vanity, says the preacher? All is vain or vanity. Is it Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? The answer is Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, for those who want to know. Wasn't that a fun show? That was a fun show. It was fun. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.